just a subtle little glimmer, some suggestion that you'd have me if I could only make me better, then I would stand a little stronger as I walk a little taller all the time. Because I know you are a cynic, but I think I can convince you that, 'cause broken people can get better if they really want to, or at least that's what I have to tell myself if I am hoping to.
Alrighty, hello Vancouver. Welcome to Vancouver Co-op Radio Show Talk Recovery. We come to you live every Thursday here on 100.5 FM, downtown east side of Vancouver. I'm with my co-host Francis Stone. Hello, Francis.
Hi, Giuseppe.
So for those of you that are missing us, we were away for a month. We had to take the month of May off because, we deserve a holiday too, but I didn't take a holiday. Or did I take a holiday? I went away on work trips. That's what I did. So we try to, you know, take a break every once in a while. So we're back, and we've got a full season of awesome shows planned. Thank you to Jordan Bowman, my assistant, who's helping us book guests and stuff. He's got our shows booked for the next couple of months. So we're going to have an awesome time. If you want to be on Talk Recovery Radio, or you have an idea of what we can talk about, send us a message on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Talk Recovery Vancouver. We also do personal stories now every show, which has been a big hit in the last year. So if you want to share your experience, strength, and hope with our listeners, and we want everybody's pathways. Last week we had was it last week or last month when we had the people that did that meditation recovery, where they don't do 12-step programs, they do meditation recovery, and that was quite interesting.
I loved it. I actually really like upped my meditation game after that.
Did
show.
You? I yeah. thought about it on the car way home.
But you just never took action?
No, I'm busy. So, you know, super exciting news. We like to start the show off with hot topics. Super exciting news is Untoxicated, which is Clean, Sober, and Proud. It's a party that we throw during Vancouver Pride. You know, it's in its sixth year. And the first year, we couldn't even give tickets away. It was like, can you please come? And we couldn't even give them away. And I think we had 80 people. We sold out yesterday and the events in like 6 weeks. So there's a couple of tickets for some of you awesome recovery peeps and all our volunteers and all that kind of stuff. But the online ticket sales, we had to close them down. Like, they sold out. So that's like 500 people already going.
I bet they heard about the red light.
I don't know.
I don't know if anybody saw the video, but there was a moment where, like, outside of the dance, it's like the red light would go and everybody would go inside the intersection, and then the light would go green and everybody would go outside of it. It was amazing.
I know, and everybody was so happy and all that kind of stuff.
Great.
Yeah, that was awesome. I think just the idea that a substance-free event has become the talk of the town for an event like Pride Day is, I just want to say thank you to all the volunteers over the last 6 years that have helped put that thing on, because like there's no money in it and there's like it's expensive and all that kind of stuff, and if it wasn't for all the help of the volunteers, like it just never would have happened. So
and that's
it's pretty
sweet.
that's a big
piece of you there, Giuseppe. Like, you're the one who believed in that vision and believed that that could happen for Pride, so like, you know, that's cool.
Team effort. And you got something big happening. We got 1 minute left. Okay. of hot topics, and so your turn. You've got
my 5-year birthday on Saturday.
Yay! Happy 5 years clean.
Thank you so much. Actually, this year does feel like something. It does feel like significant. Like, I feel like I've landed in my real life, and that I've worked and had faith and persevered and created, and, you know, like a life that I want to live, like clean and sober. And like, I really love waking up to, and I have great friends, and, yeah, like this is real. And like talk recovery is a huge part of my recovery, right? Like I was really struggling 5 years ago, and that's how we met. Like yeah. I was volunteering at Vancouver Co-op Radio, and I pitched an idea about a recovery show, and then I met Giuseppe and Darren, and then we all, you know, like
it happened.
Like that was like, honestly, it was like the paddles or whatever, yeah, to
that
my
was
recovery.
4 years ago. I was like, I'm never doing this show again 4 years ago, the amount of work involved. And then we built the relationship, and now like we're 4 years later, hundreds of shows and hundreds of guests, and it's changed both of our opinions about recovery.
And that's what I love about service, is like it's changed my life. It's directed my life. I have so many friends today. Like it really was like the life paddles on my recovery. Cause I was honestly like, I was really bored before I got involved with the show and started reaching for my dreams and stuff. So yeah, like, yay.
So you're listening to Talk Recovery Radio. We're on 100.5 FM, CFRO Radio, and we come to you live every Thursday. You can catch us on SoundCloud, iTunes, Facebook Live, many different channels. And like I said, you can also go to all of our past shows, which is talkrecoveryradio.com. And we always have our first guest in studio. We got Miss Sandra Dunn here. Frances Stone's going to take over the show. Frances, what are we talking about?
Hey, so today we're talking recovery with Sandra, and Sandra D.
Sandra D, that's me.
Yeah, I've heard of another Sandra D. Okay, so you are involved with the Vancouver Recovery Club. What does that look like? How long have you been in recovery for?
So I am just past my 6.5 years in recovery, and been involved at the Vancouver Recovery Club for about 6 years.
And so what made you get involved in the Vancouver Recovery Club? Can we call it the VRC?
Yes, we can.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes. So I started going there to meetings. Somebody introduced me to 12-step meetings, and that's where I started to go. And so then I got to know sort of what went on around there. I got involved with a step group there, and when that step group was finished, the VRC has a volunteer program, and it's sort of a peer-to-peer, you know, people in recovery helping people in recovery for the most part. When you have 90 days in recovery, you are able to become a volunteer. So that's what I did. And I volunteered there for almost a year, and then I started working there.
Okay. And so for somebody new in recovery, what is that? Why is that important? Why is it important to begin to volunteer? Like, what did that mean to you?
Well, for me, it was a form of giving back, for sure. It was service. And it gave me a purpose and taught me accountability. You know, I was expected there. I had responsibilities when I was there. And, you know, I needed that, right? It'd been a long time since I had sort of a regular job or anything like that where I was needed to be accountable. And so it gives you that. It helped a lot with my self-esteem and just the sense of purpose, I think, and just that feeling of being helpful, you know, to other people. It was super important.
Yeah, that does a ton for our self-esteem, just knowing that, you know, basically that people want us to be where we are and that we're expected and cared about, and they even want us to come back, which
is
great.
Yeah, exactly.
But so can you tell me a little bit about your personal story? Like what brought you into recovery? Where were you at? What was your, did you have a bottom or?
I had a bottom, like I had several bottoms, but this last go round that I had a couple years of abstinent from hard drug use time, but I did not have recovery. And until
Can I stop you there? What's the difference?
So the difference for me, what I have realized, is back then, like I say, I had some days back to back where I wasn't using the substances that I thought were problematic to me, and I was accomplishing some things in my life, but when sort of a big life-changing crisis happened to me, I had no form of support. I didn't really have any coping skills or tools, and just sort of went back to using.
Right, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and so now the difference that I have found is, you know, now I do have this support group. I have a very close, you know, core group of people who are there for me. I've done the work of, my personal story is 12-step fellowship is what worked for me. I did not go through a treatment, you know, a formal treatment program or anything like that. And it's just been, I have this support now. I've learned things about myself by doing the work of the 12 steps, and I continue to do it, and I continue to stay involved, and service has been a big part of my recovery, and so I just have I'm okay with myself now, and I know that I can keep progressing and growing and becoming the person I want to be.
Right. It's not a destination. It really is a journey.
Yeah.
It's true. And we continue to evolve. That's what I'm noticing as a person in recovery as well. It often just feels like just the beginning. Wherever I'm at, it feels like I'm just beginning that phase of it, right? But mm-hmm. So what do you do at the Recovery Club? What sort of events do they have at the VRC? What can people expect from there?
So the VRC is a 24-hour operates 24 hours a day. We have three main programs, the 24-hour drop-in space, a homeless outreach program, and the Safe Ride service. So my role there is basically I manage the canteen area, which is where the volunteer program mostly happens. So that's kind of my main thing. I do a little bit of everything, but that's the drop-in part is sort of where I'm focused. So we have the volunteer program. We have about 60 meetings a week of different various 12-step fellowships that happen there. We put on, you know, our volunteers are super important. Like, it's our volunteers that keep the doors open, especially because it's 24 hours a day, right? 16 hours a day, it's a volunteer behind the counter. And, you know, they help people get into detox, give referrals and information for different, you know, recovery services and housing and shelters and stuff like that. We're very frontline, you know, for that type of stuff. Like, we get people walking in off the street, never been to a meeting, never been to any kind of treatment. And just,
so it's like the door that you can knock on and they'll help you from there.
Yeah, you know, and these days with the wait times and stuff for detox, like, we will support people through that process, you know, help them with the phone call and get that started, kind of help them navigate the system. And then we will be there for them while they're waiting. You know, like, they can come in every day. They can hang out and talk to us. And
I think I know for myself in early recovery, I hung out a lot. I wasn't able to work and I didn't want to be alone. So it was like this thing of, like, it was a lot of hanging out, a lot of just, will you just be with me? Like, we just, like, you know, like, I'm just going to hang on your couch and, like, not go home. Like, I hope this doesn't get weird at some point. Yeah. So you're that place. Like, VRC is that place where people can just go hang out.
Yeah, it is. And it was for me, right? Like, when I was new in recovery, I hadn't really built up that close support group yet. So I couldn't just go hang out on their couch. So 2 a.m, I'd sometimes just be hanging out at the VRC and hit up a meeting here and there, or just talking to the staff or different people that were there.
Do you guys have meetings 24 hours a day?
We did, like, not every hour, but there's about 10 different meetings each day, starting from 7 a.m, and our last one is 11 p.m.
And what, you know, like, I remember somebody saying to me, like, a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend connecting with me and not knowing anything about meetings and really having this stigma in her head about what a meeting was like, and, like, is it full of XYZ? And, like, no, I'm like, actually, no, it's people just like you and me who struggle with drugs and alcohol. Like, that's really all it is, and all the rest of the stuff. And what I've noticed even recently, there was a person, Kate Spade, who committed suicide because her mental health issues were debilitating and stigmatized, but recovering was also stigmatized. And so for her to step out into recovery, like, she would have ruined her brand. And right. So are you familiar with that story?
I have. Yeah. Heard that, yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like, so the recovery, what I'm realizing is this, and I was the same way, it's like the addiction was stigmatized, but so was the recovery. So it's like, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. So when people come into the VRC, if they're willing to, like, let go of that stigma enough to get help, What will they find?
Well, I mean, they'll find, like you're saying, all these like-minded people in the different meetings that happen there, and just, I think they'll find some hope, right? That we do recover. It's possible, you know, and they'll find some support to do that. And I think, you know, things like this, like the show here, is so important, right? Because there can be stigma attached to saying you're in recovery. And I personally believe that if we're vocal about it and talk about it, then, you know, maybe people will, that are struggling, can say like, oh, like, I didn't know that person had been through that and come out the other side, right? And so, I mean, that's what I found in meetings, right?
Right.
You know, I'd hear those similar threads.
Right? And, you know, I was just saying to a newcomer the other day, she was shaming herself about something. And I said, you know what? Like, we don't start up here. Like, don't judge yourself when you're, like, just beginning. Like, you know, like, but that's the whole process, is to stop judging yourself. Stop blaming. Stop shaming. Mm-hmm. Stop looking at everybody else. It's like, they're not good enough because that's really what you're thinking about yourself. And do you know what I mean? Like, it's the whole process of, like, realizing the whole world is just a mirror of what you think of you. But I want to get back to the VRC and, like, even just talk about, like, what other sort of things that they do. I know that they have, like, a kind of a talent show or something there, right?
Yeah. So again, I always go back to the volunteers, because that's just, I love the volunteer program, and we've had some amazing volunteers, like we always do, and some of our volunteers in the past. So one of them did start an open mic night 4 years ago, and it's meant to be a place, you know, people who are musically gifted, you know, which is not me, but to have a safe, supportive place that they can go and express their musical abilities and you know, entertain people, that doesn't involve, you know, going to a bar or the sort of traditional places where people might go to play music. And on the other hand, also people who enjoy listening to music, you know, maybe aren't comfortable going to the bar when they're in recovery or whatever. So it's a very beautiful night when that show is on, that, you know, you get people up there brand new in recovery, never played sober before, and they get up there and it's amazing. So that show is still going on.
That's amazing. And like, I remember before I came into recovery, I went to a poetry night and I put my name down or whatever, and before they even called my name, I ran away because I couldn't share. And I went to a 12-step like camp out type thing, and I shared my poetry, and like everybody got it and they understood it. And so do you guys do poetry as well, or is it just singing, or is it like any kind of talent? Or
no, it's pretty open. Like, we've had people do poetry, we've had people do comedy. For the most part, it seems to be music, of, like, all different genres of music. So that's been one of our more successful, like, ongoing events.
Yeah, and how often do you guys do it?
Right now, it's every couple of months. It was a monthly thing, but it's we've partnered with Together We Can on that, and so it's offered at some other places as well now in between.
Okay.
When it's at the BRC, but it's still happening, and yeah, that's always a good night to come by, and we do it a bit as a like a fundraiser as well. We charge $5 at the door, half price if you're in a treatment center.
Right. And what is that like for like people? Because I know it's like it's interesting, because it's like both sides of the stage are equally important. It's like, you know, people got to show up for that person to have that experience of being supported. And creativity is like a huge deal in sobriety and being clean and stuff. And it's like that whole thing of like realizing that you can be a creative person without getting high or drunk, or, you know, like it's a totally, like as a creative person, it's a totally different process. Mm-hmm. Like, it is such a different process to learn that you don't need substances to be creative. Like, it really is. So, like, what is that like when somebody comes off the stage, or, like, they're just about to go on, or they're nervous, or, like, what is that like to be around that kind of energy?
The energy is fabulous. Like, it's just amazing. It's beautiful. I'm often, like, brought to tears from it. Like, that's just what happens for me, because I just see how special it is for that person, and you know, like you feel it, right? And so yeah, it's a beautiful night when we do that show, and I'm it was a personal friend of mine who started it, and he's no longer with us, and and it's kind of like his legacy goes on, right?
May I ask how he passed?
He died in his addiction a year ago. So yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And but this is the thing, like our volunteers are just so amazing, right? And I mean, we'll hear later from another one of our volunteers who's been doing a program there for 8 years, and so we have that as well, you know, free haircut program, which has morphed into much more than just haircuts. But
what has it morphed into?
Well, you can probably...
Well, let's just get your perspective on what it's morphed into.
Well, it would be hard to label it. It's kind of a little bit of everything, but basically, you know, the haircut program is really important to people, and again, it's that thing about helping people with their self-esteem and showing that they matter, and that, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of situation they're in. It's not about judging them. It's like... you know, just treating them, like giving them this moment of kind of paying attention to them and making them feel good. But beyond haircuts, it involves a lot of music and entertaining people and doing all sorts of fun stuff, which I get to be a part of. I mean, at the VRC in my role there, of course, but then on a personal level because I'm a volunteer with that program.
I love it.
And that's like super important to me. It's, you know, one of the best things I do these days.
I love it. It sounds awesome. It sounds like the VRC is full of lots of love and lots of support. And if anybody's like, you know, looking for a place to hook into recovery, it sounds like a really good spot to start. So where can people find out more about Vancouver Recovery Club?
So definitely I would suggest for anybody to come down and like just come and have a look around if you want. We're at 2775 Sophia Street in Vancouver. It's like 12th and Sophia area, upstairs from the Salvation Army thrift store. We have a Facebook page, Vancouver Recovery Club. We have a website. It's a bit under construction right now, but it's still there. yeah, I would just encourage anybody to just come and check us out. And, you know, just see what we have to offer. And definitely if anybody, you know, if you're in recovery and have the 90 days, we are always looking for volunteers. And
when is the next talent show night?
It's not scheduled.
Not scheduled yet. Yeah. Better get on.
But it'll be on the Facebook page and we'll always post it when it is.
Okay, so follow the Vancouver Recovery Club on Facebook and get involved and hook in and volunteer and be of service. And, like, you know what? Like, service will change your life. It'll change the way that you think about yourself and the way you think about other people. And, yeah, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Well, thanks for having me.
It was fun. Yay. Yay. Okay, and we're going to go to our first song, which is Recovery by James Arthur.
I don't wanna play this game no more. I don't wanna play it. I don't wanna stay around here no more. I don't wanna stay here like rain on a Monday morning. Like pain that just keeps on going on. Look at all the hate they keep on showing. I don't wanna see that. Look at all the stones they keep on throwing. I don't wanna feel that. Like sun that will keep on burning. And I used to be so discerning. Oh. My recovery.
can hear the phone, it keeps on ringing. I don't wanna answer. I know that I used to listen. And I know I've become dismissive, but
suggesting that you'd have me if I could only make you better, then I would stand a little stronger as I walk a little taller all the time.
Because I know you are a cynic, but I think I can convince you that cause broken people can get better if they really want to, or at least that's what I have to tell myself if I am hoping to survive.
Everybody, we're back in studio. Thank you very much, Sandra Dunn from the Vancouver Recovery Club, that was on our show as our first guest. You were awesome.
Yay.
And Vancouver Recovery Club, they got so many awesome services, and I didn't know you helped people get into detox, so that's pretty cool. Congratulations. We have one of my favorite people. Sandra, you're one of my favorite people too, but we also have the second favorite people. We've got Christina in the house, aka Scissor Fairy. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Giuseppe.
How are you today?
I am fabulous. So excited to be here.
I love it. Two fabulous people in the studio. Darren, are you fabulous?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, all three, right, we got three fabulous. Fabulous
people in the studio. There
thinking
we
more
go.
Magnificent. But
so fabulous. Christina is a volunteer at the Vancouver Recovery Club. Tell us some of the things that you do at the Vancouver Recovery Club.
I've been running Scissor Fairy program out of the VRC since January of 2010. And it's grown into, like Sandra was saying, something totally that we didn't even see coming. And it's fabulous. It's just great.
So what is, for people that don't know, what Scissor Fairy do?
Well, we started out as a free haircut program. We've probably done about 8,000 haircuts in the last 8 years. So that's fabulous for people with barriers that, you know, a haircut might mean missing a meal. So we offer it every month. The locations change yearly, but we get to be of service to the people that are generally invisible to the general population. And they walk different when they get out of the chair, a little taller, a little straighter, mm-hmm. little eye contact, and they feel better about themselves. And that's that. When I came in, they said service can look like anything that you do well that you give away for free. So it started with the haircuts. And then I was on disability when I started the program. And the $100 a month they were giving to me for volunteer wasn't covering the cost. So the music came in. So I do a ton of shows. We're at Eastside Pride on June 23rd, and we'll also be unveiling this song as well. But the money from all these live performances I do helps the program keep running. Mm. Yeah.
So you said unveiling a song. We're going to talk about that in a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
I guess what we want to start off with is this is personal story part.
Fair enough.
So, you know, what's your story? How'd you get in this seat?
I'm a burnt out hooker who lost her hustle, and now I sit here.
Wow, I'm going to hashtag that later.
That's my truth.
Burnt out hooker.
Lost my hustle. Yeah. You know, like I always had ways and means of getting more. The men were like phone booths. There was another one on every corner. And then I woke up at 41, and it just wasn't, I had nothing left. Wanted to kill myself and made the call, you know, to access. And I got in within a couple days. And it's very different now. But my journey started right away. And they gave me all these tools and love and, you know, and I've got great support in and outside of our recovery community. And it takes a village, and you know, my work knows I'm here right now. I'm leaving with a, you know, a Amy Winehouse wig and big lips, and they're like, good girl, go get, you know, like, so we get to be who we are and be supported without apologizing for who we are anymore. And that's the gift.
That's so cool. 'Cause I mean, there's the celebration of our quirkiness, right?
Right?
I mean, you know, I remember introducing you on stage at last year's Recovery Day. And, yeah, I just assumed Scissor Fairy was sort of a musician stage name. So that a little background on it started as a hairdresser
yeah.
stage name, if you will. So that's very cool little input there. So I was listening on my way in to the show. Francis brought up the stigma that's attached.
Absolutely.
And now we hear you, you know, sort of loosely burnt out hooker, you know, and it's like, I get it because I've brought in levity to my shameful moments and my regrets in my message. And I think, you know, over the last 12 years, people have really been able to connect to that honesty. But in a way of sharing it, like, it's not so bad. It's just part of the story. We don't have to fold up into a little cocoon, shed tears, and sob these stories. Now, for our listeners and our viewers, is this something that you were outright with right from the beginning? Did it take some time of recovery to be able to convey that message to people?
Well, you know, I would definitely say when I finished my first set of steps, a little bit of self-love happened. Mm-hmm. Then I read the book, The Alchemist by Pablo.
Good book.
So, and it opened everything. It changed my life. It's a very simple book. But the truth is, when we come in and we do the work, an actual 12-step program, that's all I know. I can't say if you get this from any other way. But my truth is this. We get to fall in love with ourselves, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we own who we are because, you know, there, you know, it goes back to childhood, a lot of those core beliefs. So when I look back at the child now of me as a little kid, it's not with guilt and shame and cringing and, oh, I fall in love with everything and I give her a hug. Because that girl didn't have anything. She didn't have tools, right. You know. So it changed my perception on humans in general. And because I have that for myself, I have it for everybody else that I run into.
Right.
And that's the gift for me of a 12-step program. Because if I had cancer and I was a cancer survivor,
right,
I'd be telling people, hey, I survived cancer.
Yeah.
And so I'm loud and proud about being in recovery because we need strong people that are positive, that are doing positive things in the community to show that we do recover. And the stigma needs to be gone because we're causing more harm,
right,
than good for these people. We're not giving them hope.
Right. And it's, you know, not to be mistaken that it's anything that we need to be proud of. I mean, there's a lot of things in my past I'm not proud
absolutely.
Of.
Absolutely.
But I, like you say, I can sort of accept what got me there, what led me to those experiences. You know, it was a different mindset. It was troubled, it was confused, it was ignorant, it was, you know, all these things.
Yeah.
And it becomes something that, I mean, many women must connect to that.
Well, you know, we can go in, like, this is the stuff. When I go in and do a panel, we don't look like we just came off the street.
Exactly.
So we have to let the men and women in the detox and in the treatment centers and all that know that we are one of them. So I'm pretty blunt about it. Like, literally, I'm a burnt out hooker who lost her hustle. And that was how I lived. I survived 22 years in active addiction. And, you know, they need to know that the story is the same. Like, we don't forget where we were. Because as soon as I forget where I came from, I'm probably going to be back there.
Yeah.
So, and I, you know, I have no desire to go back to that. I want to keep going with the recovery.
Now, go ahead, Darren.
Did you guys discuss, now, we talked about the VRC, and it's sort of the door that leads to resources and whatnot. And, you know, I'm assuming that it helped you in a time of need for you to give back there, or is it just...
No, I started as a volunteer there, 3 months clean when I was still at Homestead, started working on the proposal for Scissor Fairy, and it's just, I mean, the rest is history.
And what was it for you, Homestead? Was it recovery home? Treatment
yeah,
center?
It was a women's treatment center.
So what was the VRC to the women at Homestead?
It was a safe place for us to go and give back because when you were in second stage, you either had to work or volunteer, okay. And I wasn't ready to work. So I wanted to give back what was given to me. And, you know, it all led to, you know, the work I'm doing now. And having that compassion, I actually gave Sandra the job, I trained her. So we're all connected, you know, so it keeps going. And every resource is so important right now. And because, you know, some are getting clawed back and it's like, are we not in an opiate crisis?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I've got advocates, you know, in the gayborhood that are, you know, they're normies, and they liken it to the AIDS epidemic. It's very similar. So we're getting allies and advocates from other areas other than people that are just in recovery, and that's a beautiful thing because that's what we need more of, more understanding, more compassion.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And to bring more of a voice to anything that someone can do that's literally saving their life. I mean, it's shameful to think that there is a negative stigma into someone that's choosing to save their life, to better themselves, and to just do whatever it takes to just get out of that.
Yeah, and we got to love them, you know, like instead of judging them, people relapse. That's the truth of it.
Mm-hmm.
Addiction is tough. But more love and less judgment is definitely what we need to do.
You know, I want to touch on what you said earlier, burnt out hooker. And the reason why I want to talk about this...
Of course you do, just
because I said There's a lot of people that would say, don't use that language. I actually said, you know, in a conversation at a stakeholder meeting, I was at a round table with healthcare professionals, and I was referring to why men use alone, and a lot of men use alone. They, you know, a lot of them will use a hooker, and then they'll use alone afterwards, and that's where a lot of them, and I said, don't ever use that word hooker again. And I just thought to myself, I was like, well, you know, so what do you think about language police when it comes to that? Like, what, like you're shaming yourself when you say that. That's what they would say.
Absolutely not. I'm owning what I was. Like, I'm an addict. I can't, half measures don't work for me. I can be like, oh, I kept a lot of gentlemen company. But that's not my truth. Like, I mean, I was an escort. And it was a bad choice. And that was part of the addiction. And it took me to bad places. Mm. But, you know, I own that. It's not something, I don't pretend not to be who I am now.
So you're on a mission now.
Absolutely.
You said earlier, too, that you called Access and you got into detox right away.
Right away.
And you said it's not like that anymore. So it's tell not. Us, what's your journey right now? What's going on for you? Like, what is this song about? What are you trying to advocate for? You told me something was closing down. So what's happening in the downtown east side?
Well, you know, like, there's a lot of crazy going on. You know, like, detox is not getting money. And, you know, I'm not going to go into specifics because it really is happening across the board. Government treatment beds getting pulled. The divide between men's access to treatment beds and women's are far divided. You know, even in detox, 6 beds for women, 34 for men. You know, like, it's, I don't know if women are deemed harder to work with, more challenging, but I'm here to tell you, when we get clean, we're amazing people. And we do great things, and we're very spiritual and community-minded. And, you know, we are hearing a lot about 80% of the fentanyl overdoses are men. But 20% of 4,000 is a lot of women. Mm-hmm. And we need to start talking about them. Mm-hmm. They're people's mothers, they're people's sisters, daughters. And, you know, the unfortunate thing is if you get turned away from detox because you don't have the proper prescription now, or you're not stable enough, which is very bewildering because I thought that's where you went to get stable. fair enough. There's always these new barriers. And, you know, women will go back out, pick up the first guy, continue on. And the layers of trauma continue.
So I'm going to share something with you, and I want to get your reaction on film too.
Okay.
So if I'm a physician or I'm a nurse, and I dabble in heroin and fentanyl and cocaine, and it comes out that I'm a drug addict, I get shipped on a plane to a different province, and I get fully funded private treatment in an abstinence-based environment, paid for by the government. So if a Vancouver Coastal Health physician has a drug problem, they go to a private treatment center, get abstinence-based treatment. If a burnt-out hooker goes to that same doctor and wants to get clean, they get sent to a harm reduction treatment service. How does that make you feel?
Well, let me tell you something. The Band-Aid of harm reduction, Narcan training, like, we're grateful for the Narcan because we, in the moment, get to save lives, but it's not a fix. Women and men don't get what we have collectively in this room without all the other stuff. And harm reduction doesn't give you a full life back. And people deserve to have a full life.
People deserve the same treatment that doctor and nurse gets.
And we never hear about the consequences for these, you know, politicians or medical practitioners who are causing a lot more wreckage than a burnt out hooker who lost her hustle.
Like, you work downtown, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so have you saved anyone's life with Narcan?
I can't even keep count. I pick up the 60 pack of Narcan now because 3 in a little case probably doesn't get me through Monday. But it's, you know what, when the AIDS epidemic was, we wished we had something like
that.
Has
anyone ever asked you for help?
No. Hmm. No, it's like to give a Narcan?
No, just like, you know, has anybody in the downtown east side ever asked?
Absolutely.
If you could give them a plane ticket to a private treatment center.
you know, especially for the women, we refer them to the Downtown Eastside Women's Center, mm-hmm. where they have 250 women for lunch every day. So it's, you know.
I think what we need to spread that message out there. I think once everybody realizes the two-tiered healthcare system yes. we have in British Columbia.
Absolutely.
I feel like puking every time because I know it. I see it. I experience it. I had to prove I was on welfare and poor to access a treatment bed,
and,
you know,
right?
7 years ago.
Yes. You have to, like, be at the bottom, and it shouldn't be that hard. Like, it's addiction, and you know what? We need to stop blaming the addict. Like, I'm a smoker. Guaranteed, if I get lung cancer, my doctor's not going to say, sorry, you don't qualify because you did it to yourself. People who overeat, it's everybody's got an addiction in the whole wide world. Mm-hmm. But we got to stop blaming the ones that are the most vulnerable. The opiate crisis was not started by a man or a woman doing drugs in the Downtown East Side. To be clear, they did not start this. They are collateral damage, and they matter. Their lives matter. They matter.
Alrighty, so we have been talking to Scissor Fairy. She's got quite the good spirit, and you know, I always appreciate having Christina and part of our shows. She's been involved in lots of volunteer activities and so forth. You know, Darren, whenever I get a chance to talk about the whole two-tiered system, I have to jump on it.
Yeah.
Because she's right in the ghetto. She's right downtown in the Downtown East Side.
And that opinion is what's missing, I think. I mean, every feed that you know, defends that argument is, you know, why should I, a tax-paying citizen, you know, who doesn't, you know, do drugs, and why should I have to pay, you know, for someone who's down and out, why should I have to do that? You know, and it's—I don't know—it's that humanness that she talks about, right?
A 60-pack of Narcan's not even enough for her to get through the weekend.
It's crazy, it's crazy.
And if somebody asks for help to get out of that, she can't do anything.
But I wonder where we would be.
She can't do anything. Like, it's insane.
Do you ever think about where we would be had this so-called epidemic not happened, if this fentanyl thing didn't come out? Like would we still be, you know, sort of manipulating the system?
Well, we had a problem before the fentanyl crisis.
Exactly.
So it's not like, you know, people were still dying before the fentanyl crisis, and just recently in the media, more people are dying from alcohol abuse than they are from fentanyl abuse.
Why is that not so known?
I don't know why. So
hey, something legal.
So
is
that's a whole other
people?
Show. That's a whole other show. We're gonna have to do that. So we have got Christina back in the studio. She just stepped out for a couple of minutes, and she is here. Tell us really quickly, because we've got enough time for the song. She's going to sing live for us, everybody, her new song. She had a press release at the VRC a little while ago to talk about the slowdown of access to treatment. There's so many phone numbers and places to call, and what are they calling it now? The overdose crisis unit at the hospital. But to get people off the streets into recovery, why did you do this song?
I just wanted to really show the barriers. Hey, I should be talking like in an English accent, but I don't do accents, so clearly. To show the barriers that women are having to access detox and treatment right now, and what a little bit, you know, a little bit of an inside view into what a day in the life of a gal who's got an addiction going on. And yeah, that's about it.
So I guess do we need to introduce Miss Amy Winehouse? Who's sitting in here with?
Yes, very reminiscent. And we picked Amy because, you know, she died in addiction. She was surrounded by a bunch of normies that didn't really get it, right? And so they loved her to death.
Giuseppe's got the only microphone on, so he'll have to introduce you.
Tried to get myself to rehab. I can't go, go, go. Not enough spots in detox, so it's slow, slow, slow. But I ain't got much time. Everybody out here's dying. Tried to get myself to rehab. I can't go, go, go. I'd rather get some help today. They say come back in 14 days. So I go back out to the streets, yeah, and pick up the first man I meet. You look at me like I'm criminal. Don't you know that makes me more vulnerable? Tried to get myself to rehab. I can't go, go, go. Way more beds for men. I'm a woman. It's slow, slow, slow. But I ain't got much time. Everybody out here's dying. Tried to get myself to rehab. I can't go, go, go. They ask, how'd you end up here? I say, I ain't got no idea. Too many traumas have made me crazy. So I always keep my dealer near. I'm addicted and depressed. Fentanyl has got me stressed. Tried to get myself to rehab. I can't go, go, go. Way more beds for men. I'm a woman. It's slow, slow, slow. I don't ever want to use again. I just need a friend. Someone who can help me and show me how to find recovery. I don't mean to complain, but you can't fix these issues with another bike lane. Tried to get myself to rehab. I can't go, go, go. Way my best for men. I'm a woman. It's slow, slow, slow. But I ain't got much time. Everybody out here's dying. Tried to get myself to rehab. I can't go, go, go.
Oh my God, yeah.
And I just want to nail down one thing with Giuseppe while I got him on live. Am I still going to do Recovery Day opening at Art Gallery?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, we are. In the books.
Yeah, we that got Matthew fantastic. Good this year.
I know. It's such a great thing to be part of.
We've got a couple of minutes. That's a wonderful song. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Amy House remix. By Scissor Fairy. Now, there's a YouTube. There's a video that goes along with that song.
There is. The full video is on YouTube under Sandra Dunn's YouTube channel. And just put in Scissor Fairy Rehab, and it pops right up. Please watch and share if you're not worried about your anonymity. We understand if you are. But we need to start the conversation. There's a new mayoral election happening this year, and we need to make our voices heard so that we can get this in on the platform before the election. So we're going to go hard on this and see what we can do.
Right on. Yeah. Scissor Fairy's taking it to the man. Fantastic.
Thank you.
Alrighty, well, thank you very much for being on our show. You got an awesome story, and you know, we do recover.
We do recover,
and we have so much fun in recovery. And you're just, you know, you and Sandra, who's in the studio as well, you know, give us that opportunity at the Recovery Club to have fun. And thanks for helping all those people with the haircuts and whatever else that's turned into.
My pleasure.
We're super grateful, and we need to tell our truths. I'm a drug addict. I smoked crack. You know what? It's a mistake I made, but I've changed. I've recovered. If you're at home and you're using drugs, like, there's no shame in your story. It's just one of those things that you need to get honest about, because you can help somebody.
Absolutely.
And helping somebody is the best gift we can do. And buying people stuff is nice, but when you can help them get their life back, it's the best gift ever.
And like you said, that saving the life is so important. But that full life that's out there that could be the result of that saved life. It's how do we get them there? And if there's women that are listening to this or watching this, go visit these women at the VRC and start that process to whatever resource it's a road. It's not easy to access right now, but go there and see.
Alrighty, before we cut the show off, June 16th, Addictive Comedy, a fundraiser for Recovery Day BC. There's like 50 tickets left out of like 900. So get your ticket. We want to sell out of this thing. Tickets are $25. It's a comedy show, fundraiser for Recovery Day. Darren, we got 30 seconds.
Stay tuned for World Poetry Cafe coming up next. And we're going to go with Canadian Lucinda Williams. This song's called Joy. Enjoy.
Thanks for watching. Joy, go to Slidell and look for my joy. Maybe-